Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Father, we just pray this morning, the entrance of your word brings light and life and revelation, understanding. We know today, Lord, we are completely dependent on the word of faith. For it is the word that gives us faith, by which we can quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And so, Father, teach us to walk in the light as you are the light of the world. And we know that when we do that, the blood of Jesus cleanses us, continuous tense, of all sin. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. It's absolutely fantastic to see all the people here. You want to know that Saturday morning prayer meeting, how full it was yesterday. I couldn't believe it. It looked like another church service. And we're just very, very glad to have you here. In the book of 1 John, I could start 1,000 places, but I'm going to be focusing on this point of start, and we'll read this and the rest I'll just quote. And so what we'll do here is this. 1 John 1 verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare, make a decree, in other words, proclaim to you that God is light. Everybody say, God is light. In him was the light and the light was the life. That light is our life. God is light and in him is no darkness. Notice that, at all. God is light, in him is no darkness. Keep that in the back of your mind. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Problem is, I would like to go to every single word there and show you what it means. It's just unbelievable stuff. But God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. Now, dear friends, if I look at Genesis 1, and we have the Hebrew here, in the beginning, God created Rishit Elohim Bara Shemayim Acha Aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was out, without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Spirit of God was hovering. And that word hovering literally means to brood, ready to give birth to what was about to happen. Now, Genesis 1:3, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Now, the translation for this word good in the Hebrew is the word tov. It's got two ways you can translate that. It's either good or pleasant. But good is obviously what is the emphasized word, and I agree with that translation or rendition. God saw the light and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now, if I just stop there and we look at the dividing of the light and the darkness, if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light. God divided the light from the darkness. Now, this morning I will begin on this journey, some of which you would know, some of which you definitely won't know, and some of which you will need updating if you haven't been around. But I am glad to say that, my goodness, the church is full these days, both services in the morning and at nighttime. Couldn't believe all the people last week. At nighttime, I'll pray for a lot of sick people. The presence of the Lord is extremely strong on me at the moment. So somebody once wrote a book called The Release of the Spirit. The Release of the Spirit. And maybe we need to do that at night. We haven't got the time in the mornings. And he divided the light from the darkness. Whatever I don't finish, I just continue tonight and then leave a lot of space open for ministry so that I can get to both angles of the light and separate light and darkness in people's lives. I want to just, don't want to get into physics, but or astronomy, but you know, it is a very intriguing study. And you know, it dawned on me that in science they continue to talk about the Big Bang theory, Big Bang, Big Bang, Big Bang. And astronomers are amazed because nothing moves faster than the speed of light. Full stop, period, that's it. Nothing moves faster than the speed of light. They've now discovered that there are galaxies as the universe is expanding, and they're measuring the movement of galaxies that are moving faster than the speed of light. I just smiled because I knew it's possible. But in physics, it is just not possible. But they see galaxies, whole galaxies, moving faster than the speed of light. Now, I want to take it this way. Forget about the Big Bang that just happened anywhere, nowhere. Maybe, perhaps, Dalton Skin. Theory, tentative generalization of which the validity has to be proved. Put God in the center of this creation. Himself. Before him, nothing was. He's before all things. So when he said, literally the Hebrew says, light be, when he said those words, the universe as we know it began from him. He is still the central point of the universe. And anything that were that came to pass, that were created, all things that were created, came straight out of him. So not a big bang out of God. Through him all things were created, without him nothing was created that came to pass, or that was created. So put him instead of the big bang, we call it the big creator, that started creating. And he had the one thing that nothing else could put together, that scientists, you know, sometimes they get up to a spectacular display of stupidity. That scientists try to say, Big Bang, boom, and now this happens, automatic. No, 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 no. There's a very precise creator that can indeed move faster than the speed of light. And who is still expanding his universe. He is the central point of creation. In him all things exist. The word exist is literally are stuck together or glued together. Okay? Like I once said, he holds every atom in your body under his control. So from there, the next period of time, we have a description of exactly how things, in what sequence they came. But we notice the first thing he did, the first thing that God did was to say, light be. So when the universe started expanding, light went with it. So the light of God is found in the farthest objects that has ever been discovered by, like, the Hubble Space Telescope, whatever. And there's amazing stuff we can get into, but just leave that there. Light, therefore, beginning from the throne of God, expanding with the universe, is at the edge of the universe, but at once in God Himself. At the edge of the universe, all things are sustained, held together through Him. In Him, we have redemption, namely the forgiveness of our sins by His blood. So now, I need to just connect up with a verse which is very critical here to understand, because ultimately I'm aiming towards faith. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the book of Psalm 119, 105, there are two of them. I think the one is 105, one the other is 130, where it says, the entrance of your word brings light. It brings revelation, understanding, even to the simple. Psalm 119, 105 says, very important, your word is a lamp to my foot, to my feet, and a light to my path. The word is the lamp and the light to both your feet and your path. Now, just get back to 1 John, where it says, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, His word is everywhere, even to the stretches of the universe. As we walk in the light, how do you walk in the light? There are ways of walking in the light. But the main way that God's given to every man on earth at this time is the word. Everybody say the word. What does the word serve us? It serves us as a lamp to our feet, where we go and where we shouldn't go and where we don't go. And a light to my path, says the psalmist. So the moment I am following the word, I have light. I walk in the light. When I walk in the light, then the same sustaining power that holds all things together holds together my life also. You see, every Hebrew word, now I'm talking about ancient Hebrew now, the ancient of ancient Hebrew, like the book of Enoch, Job, the language of Abraham that he wrote with, ancient, ancient Hebrew. Those letters were shaped to, like conductors, to channel power in different ways. So if you look at, they call pictographs, each letter and a word is a pictogram. Every letter is filled with power. The same power that holds everything together but also expands everything, like in the universe, the expanding universe. The same power. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. You better believe it's true. It's exactly like that. But exactly like that. Somebody out there listening to me? It's exactly like that. So now, to walk in the light to begin with is to walk in the word, just to begin with. Just to walk in the word. Because if I go to, for example, the prophet Elijah, we think of how he heard from God. In 1 Kings 19:11, God says to Elijah, "Go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces." Before the Lord, YHWH. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Now, after the fire came something. I'm just going to say it in Hebrew. Esh damama deka kol. Esh damama deka kol. So if I take that word by word, after the fire, a still. Damama, which means silence. Which means a silence so strong that you can hear something in that silence. Now, let me just stop for a moment. When you verbalize the word of God, it's not in volume. God doesn't speak to you through an amplifier system. That's why Jesus could address thousands of people on the lake shore of Galilee. And everybody could hear him just fine, because that word was carried by the Holy Spirit to the ears of everybody. And so we have silence. I remember way back 1977, I was then working at the SABC and doing some broadcasting on a few radio stations, and got involved with sport commentary of motor cars, motorsport too. In those years. And I remember that I would go into a studio. Now, those studios are absolutely soundproof. They're purpose-built, and you cannot even hear nothing in there. They are 100% soundproof. Built before the time, architecture designed the whole bit. Everything, the walls, everything, even the whole building where the studio block is like on springs, so that even if there's an earthquake, it would take the earthquake and just stabilize, everything will be stable. Now, when you close that door and there's nothing switched on, I remember a few times just sitting in that chair, listening to the sound of silence. Let me say that again, the sound of silence. If you go into your bedroom, you switch off everything, it's nighttime and there's not a sound, you find that your ears are hearing sound nevertheless. As a much younger man then, I used to listen to the sound of silence. Still, demama in Hebrew means to be silent, to be quiet. Silence, still. Simple as that. Small means thin. Something very thin. Very faint. Very faint. Very little thing. Very thin. It's the Hebrew word, the calm, which means very little. Very small. Actually, the Hebrew, if I think of Dr. David Ben-Gigi in his study of this, said it's wrong translated because it's actually a still, thin, and of word there is voice, but it means also, in the first place, it means a voice or a sound. So what did he hear? He heard in the silence Are you hearing things? you can hear things now. In the silence, there comes a thin sound, voice, speaking to him. That thin, small, that still, very small voice is what God has given to you. You started off with the Navi, which is prophets, and the Chozar, which is also prophets, two different things, describing the prophet. The second one, Chozar, means to be able to see things in advance, and the Navi means to be able to perceive things. So, put it to you this way, God gave you the witness of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit bears witness, Romans 8, 14 to 16, with our spirits, to bear witness with you. But if you're too noisy and if you're too loud, and sometimes people are simply motor mouths, sometimes people are in a very, I sometimes would make a telephone call and say, where on earth are you? It sounds like the Armageddon on that side. Wind and noise and people talking and whatever. Oh no, I'm in, let's say, some shop somewhere. But you can hear it. You hear that sound cutting straight through. But when you stand out in the mountain, you have all of this wind sound or a voice. With more power in what is now being said, what are you doing here, Elijah, than any public speech over a million watt speaker to address a million strong crowd? It's just that little voice that talks on the inside of you when you're quiet. Not when you know, those who wait upon the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. Be what? Still. Everybody say still. Sometimes we need to listen. There's praying and there's listening. Okay. That voice verbalized certain things. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. When Elijah heard that, he went forth and he anointed Elisha, the son of Nimshi, as he was plowing between behind or with 12 oxen. 12 is the number of Israel, is the number of the 12 tribes. And so Elisha was to be the next prophet. So faith, Romans 10:17, comes by hearing and hearing by the word. That's why I think primarily the word of God serves to talk to people, and they don't realize it. The neglect to listen or to read the word means to almost impede what God is busy saying. It's like people don't read the Bible, therefore they cut back on what God could have said to them logically anyway. And sometimes in a still, thin voice, just a little voice on the inside of your heart, he says, what are you doing, Mark, with your life? See, just like that, just like that. Oh, I can't wait for Bible school this year. Now, with that being said, as a backdrop to faith, we have discovered that it began with separating the light and darkness. And I'm going to turn to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Do you know that God still separates light and darkness all the time in our lives. Did you know that? He's still busy with that. He's never stopped that. Still separating light and darkness. Never stopped doing that at all. When a person comes and gives his life to Jesus, instantly the light of God, God who commanded the light to shine, has also released that light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the face of Jesus Christ, into our hearts. And so the moment we receive Him, we are switched on like light bulbs. My little children shine like lights in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. But the moment I step out of the light, I'm stepping out of His will. Do you ever think about that? I say the temptation of Jesus. The temptation of Jesus. Think about that. Matthew chapter number 5. Spirit leads him, the Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness after being baptized in the Holy, in the Jordan River. And he goes into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. We know all about that. And then it says the devil left him for a season, for a time. However, my personal opinion was that was not the biggest temptation. Ever think about that? Ever think about that? You think that's the biggest temptation Jesus withstood? No, it wasn't. I don't think so. What was the biggest temptation? In the Garden of Gethsemane, he had to choose between his will and the Father's will. And he says, Father, not my will. Right there, he was the Word that has just become flesh. He knew the Word back to front. This whole book was the life and the light of the world, and he would release it in printing to us, which we neglected to read and to obey. And that will of God, he knew the will. He was the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. And right there, he had to make a choice. He'd get out of the will of God. Think about this. Take a shortcut. I said, take a shortcut. Say, I'm out of this. Maybe a little bit later. I'm not quite seeing my way through for this sacrifice. The cross is now ahead of me, but I'm out of this. But instead of the devil, Isaiah chapter 14, the five I wills, New King James translation is correct. We call it the five I wills of the devil. We see Jesus turning it right around and he says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. You are every day in house, home, family, marriage, children, business, on the road, wherever you may go, have a holiday, confronted by one thing. Is it your will or is it what is plainly stated in God's will that you're going to be obeying? The one side has the threat of a cross. The other side is, if I just do this, just this, I don't have to take this course, I could take this course, but it's not in the will of God. And the moment you do that, you step out of light into the darkness. And then the darkness blinds your eyes and you believe darkness. And the deception, the obscurity, groping in darkness, knows not where they go. Not walking in the light no more. And now from that platform, making a ton and a half of decisions with your life. I see people moving, living, doing, saying, God said, I must do this. God said we must live in Cape Town. God said, 6 weeks later, they're back here again. I said, I thought God said to you that you've got to be in Cape Town. Like the one guy stood in a queue. They were people, and he praying over the one. He said, he did the wrong thing. He said, pastor's people, says the one person, says, you've been called to India. Gets to another girl. She's a Chinese looking. And he says, and you've been called to China. And they said, pastor, we're married. He says, I mean Indochina. Give the Lord a praise. I'll bring him up. Amen. It's so easy to avoid sweating, perspiring, great drops of blood and saying there's an easy way around this. I'll just attack the devil on some other area, but it wouldn't be the Father's will. The Father's will had you in mind. The Father's will is that he would be the Savior, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And he knew it, and all of us depended on that prayer session in the Garden of Gethsemane. There, he had to withstand till his blood came out on his skin. It tells us in the book of Luke, great drops of blood. Can you imagine a prayer session where drops of blood come out of your skin? The pressure on that. Now, having said that, there's no shortcuts in the kingdom. There's only one way, walk in the light. Everybody look at me. Walk in the light. Amen. All right? It's either amen or it's oh my. Okay, I want to tell you, I don't want to step out of the light. That's the year of it. Now, Hebrews 11 verse 1, I'm sure by now you've found it. It's in the New Testament. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Bear in mind in the back of your head that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The word substance and the word evidence are the two words that are important. Faith is substance and evidence. See, this word is so powerful, it's still working. Parts of the universe, scientifically proven, what am I saying? Through the whole scientific community in disarray because of that. Because there it is in plain reading on the instruments, on the computer satellites. Some galaxies are moving further, faster than the speed of light. How's that even beginning to be possible? You've got to be kidding. No, we're not kidding. It's a fact. Scientific fact. Nochal. Can you believe it? Scientific fact. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. The word spells out the will of God. Oh, no, I'm reading Encyclopedia Britannica and I've got Professor Google on the line. And I've also got Dr. YouTube on the line. Might as well have Dr. Dumbbells on the line. There's every answer I ever wanted in life. It's in that book. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence of things what? Not seen. Not seen. Tonight I continue with talking about the fiery darts of the enemy and quenching them. So it's more of a spiritual warfare. Help you to sort out demonic attacks. But we see here that faith is substance and evidence of what? Things hoped for. Hope for is the word, if I'm right, if I remember right, is the word elpizo. But, okay, faith is substance and evidence of your hope. Hope is always, I've always said, hope is like a vision or a picture I have for my tomorrow. That I'd like to achieve something, want to build a house, want to ultimately drive so-and-so car or whatever. Like to do this, and I see my future like that. So your faith is your substance and your evidence. Your substance and your evidence of what you're hoping for. Substance very easily. Substance literally simply means hypostasis in the Greek. It means that which lifts up like a bridge, the pillars under the bridge, your hope so that you can cross from this side to the other side. In America by New Orleans, there's a lake called Pontchartrain. It's got this long bridge right over the lake, in the middle of the lake, and pillars and pillars and pillars. But the road is held up, and they can pass that bridge. That substance that holds up your hope to remain alive. The evidence is the evidence of things not seen. Substance, evidence, evidence of things not seen. The evidence is what? Proof. Evidence is simply proof. Authenticity, the proof that the things which are not seen are both possible and do exist. God calls the things, Romans chapter number 4, with Abraham, which are not as though they exist. God does that. We're the children of God. We've got Christ in us, the hope of glory. We can therefore, with the word of God, call those things which do not exist into being, because our faith is the very thing that will validate, that will prove that this book is no ordinary book. This book is the word of God. This book upholds you and I. This book determines your heartbeat. This book determines your health. This book determines your financial prosperity. This book. Everything. But if we walk in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. Can you say amen? I want everybody to bow your heads right now. You know, I want to be very honest with you. You're not really going anywhere if you don't go there with Jesus. Your life, if without Christ, a clear decision to give your life to Christ, that His light can come definitely into your heart, and you can start walking in the light, you get a Bible, maybe Bible school, whatever the case may be, but you need the light of the Lord, the life of Christ on the inside of you. You really need so. Therefore, I want to say to you, if you've come into this place, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I want to give you the opportunity right here and now to be saved and not go to hell. Hell is a reality. Faith is the proof of the things which we don't see. When we see a miracle, it proves the Word of God to be the truth. The Word of God speaks clearly about hell. Nobody wants to go there. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. There's a thing called saving faith. By faith, you have been saved through grace. And my dear friends, by grace, you have been saved through faith. I want to say to you this morning, if you come into this place, you've never purposely, clearly made a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. I'm not talking about attending church. I'm not talking about just being here. I'm not talking about being a member of this, that, the other group of churches. That does not save you. Little False Christian Center does not save you. Jesus does. The Word of God does. And you need a touch from Jesus upon your life. If you want me to make a quick prayer for you before we close the session, I want to do that prayer right here and now. And I want you to raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Wherever you are, just stick your hand for me. Bye, donkey. I see the hands. I see hands going up. I see hands going up. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. A lot of men this morning. Thank you, sir. There's a lady. Thank you. Thank you over there. There's another lady. Right at the back, there's another lady. We're not playing games. Right at the back, two more hands. Looks like a couple there at the back. I want to tell you something. Don't you walk out of this building and not respond to this. Thank you, lady. I see a lady there, and there's another lady, and there is another man. And there's another man. Don't walk out of this building. Don't go out of this place without making Jesus Christ Lord of your life. Today, make a new beginning on your life and decide suddenly to walk with God that you may experience peace and blessedness and fulfillment for once and for all. Are you tired of the frustrations? Then raise your hand right now and the Lord will help you. Thank you very much. Can I ask everybody that raised their hands, stand for me because you're all over the place. I want to see you. Look at me and stand. I want to see you. All of you standing right now, look at me. I want to pray for all of you. Will you walk to me? Come, young couple, come. Come, come, come to me. Come, come. Just walk to the front. Just walk to the front. That's right. That's right. Morty, could you just come to the platform, please? Just everybody just spread out in the front. Stand next to one another, not behind one another. Just stand next to one another. Let's give the Lord Jesus a praise offering. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I need the ushers and the cell leaders that are here and the zone supervisors, everybody that is here, just to put a warm hand on everybody's shoulder. Quickly, quickly. Right. All of these people here. Now look at this. You're beginning life today. You're beginning life today. What's now going to happen to you is glorious. Life never be the same. All the stuff that you've experienced before, miserable, miseries, all the stuff. When you start walking in the Word, as I explained to you, you get a Bible, you read it, you practice it, everything changes for you. Would you all raise your hands and say these words after me? Everybody does the same. According to the Bible, we now confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we believe in our hearts that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. Therefore, we are saved. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts. Save our souls. Wash us in the blood of Jesus Christ. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. And we will serve you all the days of our lives. Forgive us our sins. We forgive all people, even our enemies, whatever they've done against us. In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. I thank you that I've just stepped in the kingdom of God. Now fill me with the Holy Spirit and power. In Jesus Christ's name, everybody just stand right still as you are and give the Lord a praise offering right now. Isn't that just wonderful? Give the Lord a praise offering, everybody. Amen. That pastor right at the end, we need to just say hello and bless you. Just walk with him quickly, quickly, and just go quickly with that pastor. Don't go sit down. Don't go away. 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 That's fine. It's got to be quick. Just go with that pastor there. Quickly. Quickly. Give the Lord a praise offering and encourage them. Just go with and encourage them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise God. This morning, as I was giving the offering teaching, if we want to change our lives, Let us start by changing our thinking. Taking the word and let's follow the word. Father, as these wonderful people have come into your kingdom this morning, Lord, we rejoice with them, but there are angels rejoicing now more than anybody else. For Father, when one soul comes into the kingdom, the heavens rejoice to receive them. We thank you for this. Father, give us an incredible week. Protect your people, guard and guide your people, and impart your wisdom into every life. We ask it now in the name of Jesus, and everybody agrees and says, amen. Go quiet.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.